about 2 years ago, my son Daniel had this idea that he and I should do a record together, really kind of blending bluegrass and jazz. We had actually done a tour of Great Britain about 5 years ago, and we just did a lot of stuff together and realized it was an interesting combination to have the trumpet. Daniel, at this point, was a pretty established jazz trumpeter in the Boston area, blending the trumpet with the banjo in particular, and then he would sing harmonies, and it was fun, and it was different, too. It was like based on traditional, but also elements of jazz, and we did a lot of original things that we ended up writing together. Mm. And then a couple of years ago, we sat down and started thinking about let's do an actual album of some of this material, and put out a CD called Fly Away, and have been playing around ever since, and it's just a lot of fun. It's a different thing for me. It sort of re-energizes me in the musical world to sort of approach it in a slightly different way. And it's good for Daniel, too. Suddenly he's doing things with the trumpet that haven't been done before, and kind of combining it with the sound of the banjo and more traditional, rootsy kind of music.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing now anyway.
Let's back up a little bit, because I'm curious when that first moment or that first time that you guys collaborated on something bluegrass, was Daniel doubling another instrument? I mean, was he mimicking the mandolin part or something like that?
Not really. I actually started playing with Daniel long before our tour 5 years ago, when Daniel was only about 10 and my daughter Naomi was 13. My wife and I would play shows, and we started bringing them up to play with us back then. And at that point, of course, Daniel was very much, he was really into Louis Armstrong and was this big hero back then. Mm-hmm. And he would play the sort of Dixieland sounding kind of phrases, but he'd blend it with what we were doing. He would figure out the chords, the melody, mm-hmm. but it had a definite kind of Dixieland feel, and it worked well.
With the banjo and everything.
Right, yeah. It's kind of a natural kind of a sound. But when we started doing the record together, I don't know, at that point, he was a lot older. He was like about 28 or so when we did this tour a few years ago. And he had been listening to what I've been doing over the years and liked that kind of music anyway. He liked to listen to jazz, but also to, folk and bluegrass. So he really kind of knew the style, and he just came up with his own little phrases. It's sort of a little bit of jazz, but he's a little more close to the melody. If anything, I guess it's probably closer to the sound of a fiddle. Fiddle and banjo is a real classic kind of a bluegrass combination. So what he does is, maybe closer to that, in the tone and some of the lines that sort of work. But he has his own kind of approach to it.
It seems like there wouldn't be much common ground between bluegrass and jazz, or folk and Latin jazz. Maybe you can explain where that common ground is, or how it works for you and Daniel.
I mentioned that we've actually written some songs together. There are actually some old songs that I wrote years ago that never quite had the right melody, or needed a melody to begin with. So we've collaborated, there a little bit. And what Daniel kind of puts into the music is, chord progressions that maybe are a little different, than what I might think of. Or melody lines, that kind of go to places that, bluegrass or folk doesn't normally go. So he's sort of broadened my horizons a little bit in hearing things and trying things out on the banjo to kind of follow what he's doing. But a lot of what he's playing, too, is really kind of, most of what we do is, it's more folk and bluegrass than jazz. Jazz is sort of like a little element that he's added. But, I would say the basis of what we do is kind of based on a Appalachian kind of a sound.
So you were kind enough to give me, this is a preview of the upcoming album, right?
Right.
And this is trumpet and banjo and B flat. Explain the process of this. This was an old tune that you had done a while ago?
No, it's actually one that I wrote like maybe, 5 or 6 years ago on the banjo.
When you wrote this, you had in mind something that you and your son could play together?
No, it was just an instrumental that I figured, that I wrote for the banjo. And you play this one, it's in a kind of a more traditional style called frailing, sometimes called clawhammer, where instead of picking it, like you do like in a lot of bluegrass, in this style of playing, you actually use the middle finger and you just hit down on the note that you want and then strum with the same finger. Has like a different sort of a sound to it anyway. But I just wrote it as a tune that I was sitting down playing banjo one day, and the part of the melody, you know, came to me, and I kept working on it, and got the whole thing, and then played it for him, and he figured out how to add his, you know, his part to it.
Yeah. Would you play some of it?
Yeah.
Anybody doing this?
Not really. I mean, there are people who have, you know, who have done, you know, bluegrass stuff and added horns here and there. Tony Rice, a great guitar player, on some of his recordings, he's had saxophone, you know, added that in. But it, when I hear it, it's interesting. But it's sort of like the saxophone isn't really changed. It's sort of like jazz saxophone blended with what he's doing, and you know, it doesn't really, you know, it's interesting. But they don't quite, you know, I don't know. Work in a way that I would like to hear him work. What we're doing is a little different. You know, I can't think of anyone else who does it.
Well, Phil Rosenthal, what a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Ray.